Okay, well, this will be the last Sunday Fellowship of 2015. Been a good year for many of us. Very thankful. And looking forward to the next one. And what I'd like to look at is prospering in whatsoever you do. Okay? Because Psalm 1 gives the key on prospering in whatsoever you do. So, number one in the old Hebrew songbook here. And I want to look at the first three verses. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So the key to prospering in whatsoever you do is right here. So we want to take a closer look at this. I was looking at this in a different translation called the Young's Literal Translation. Let me just find this here, and I'll read those three verses to you in this translation. It's pretty neat. It says, "Oh, the happiness of that one who hath not walked in the counsel of the wicked, and in the way of sinners hath not stood, and in the seat of the scorners hath not sat. But in the law of Jehovah is his delight, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he hath been as a tree planted by rivulets of water, that giveth its fruit in its season, and its leaf doth not wither, and all that he doeth he causeth to prosper." Pretty neat. Yeah, it's like a word-by-word translation from the Hebrew and from all the Hebrew inflections and conjugations and things that we started studying a couple of years ago, and I gave up because it was just too hard for me. Dave, you can continue it a little further, though, right?
Still plugging away.
Are you speaking fluent Hebrew now at this point?
Not quite yet. No? Okay. Probably not ever.
But that great promise in verse 3 is that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So I want to look at these three verses to see what the key is to prospering in whatsoever you do. Verse 1 says, "Blessed or happy is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly." And it talks about walking and standing and sitting here, right? And of course, those are figures of speech. It's not talking about literally, you know, walking or standing or sitting, but to walk is how you conduct your life, right? The way that you go, the decisions that you make, the way you conduct yourself. And the stand is the stand that you take, you know, the mental stand that you take. What do you stand for? What's your position? What's important to you? What are you rooted in, where you won't move from it? And what's your seat? Where are you seated? What's home position for you? You know, what do you consider home? So you'll be blessed or happy if you're not conducting your life in the way that the ungodly advise you to. I wouldn't take any advice from ungodly people, because that advice is often not even well-intentioned. Those are ungodly people that are giving it, right? They usually give out advice to other people to benefit themselves. It's like, you know, you watch a movie where someone is teaching someone else how to play poker. I would lay down this card. And he always gives advice so that the person giving the advice winds up winning. the money from the other person, right? So you don't want to take advice from ungodly people. You don't want to take a stand in the way of sinners. The word sinners means those that are guilty, those that have violated the word of God and continue to do so. And you don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful are those that make fun of God's word, that make fun of believers. You know, and maybe you've had people make fun of you at times for believing the word of God. I know I have. And so you don't want to sit in that seat. You don't want to sit in judgment of God's word and judge it in a negative way. You'll be blessed if you don't do these things. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, first of all, it reminds me of Ephesians. You know, because Ephesians talks about that we are seated in the heavenlies, right? God, in Ephesians 2, God made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. That's our position. That's home in the heavenly realm. It tells us to walk according to the vocation where, that you're called. Walk according to the calling of God. Walk in God's way with all lowliness of mind and, you know, humility and supporting each other in love, right? Keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's how we walk. And to stand against the wiles of the enemy. You know, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So in Ephesians, it teaches us how to sit, how to walk, how to stand. Here it just tells us how not to. Okay? But verse 2 says that happy is this man if his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight. This word delight, the Hebrew word, is also used in Proverbs 3. We'll come back to Psalm 1, but let me read you a verse in Proverbs 3 that might be familiar to you. It's in verse 15, but I'm going to start in verse 13, because that word happy is used. The same happy in Psalm 1 shows up in Proverbs 3:13. It says, happy is the man that findeth what? Wisdom. Something we've been looking at the past few weeks, right? Making good life choices and walking with God. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and he usually finds it because he's been looking for it. And the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it, and the it is wisdom, the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of wisdom is better than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. The word desire here in verse 15 is the same as the word delight in Psalm 1, that his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you desire the word of God? Do you delight in it? Does it give you more pleasure to think about the word of God than to think about, you know, money, wealth, you know, prestige, the respect of other people, things like that? If the word of God is really your delight, and you would rather have the word of God than all these other things, then you'll prosper in whatsoever you do. If a person is trying to prosper just for the sake of prospering, you know, and just figuring out his way and taking the counsel of the ungodly and all those others, that prosperity is going to be very narrow. It's going to be limited. If a person is only after money and wealth, that's generally all that they're going to get. And usually they're missing out on other things that are more important than money. You know, usually they're missing out on good health. They're missing out on, you know, love and spiritual matters and things that are more important. Nothing wrong with money, but if that's the only goal, then that person's got to be missing out on things that are greater than that. You see? If a person is after good health and that's their only goal, well, they might be may or may not be healthy as long as they live, but, you know, that's going to be it, right? And I've seen people that strive so hard for good health and would never actually get it because there's something wrong with them. And many times the reason why they're striving so hard for good health is because they know deep down there's something wrong that's, you know, going to kill me. So I'm going to try to overcome that by eating as good as I can, doing as much exercise as I can, and many times out of desperation. But that's their entire focus, and they miss out on the spiritual realities and the other things that are more important. You know, nothing wrong with good health, nothing wrong with plenty of wealth, but never to be desired above the things that are even more important, like the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God is knowing what to do according to God's will. What is more important than doing the will of God? You know, for some people, anything else takes a backseat to everything. But to those that love God, yeah, we want to do His will. We're not ones that just want to, okay, I just want to know that I'm saved so I'm all right and then do whatever I want until Christ comes back. We want to walk with God because we love Him. You know? And God wants us to walk with Him because that's how He can bless His people. He has a hard time helping someone prosper in something that's not according to His will. Right? So if you are going to prosper in something that's not God's will, well, you're kind of on your own or at the mercy of something else other than God, and that something else might not be as merciful. You see? So, back in Psalm 1, verse 2, His delight is in the law of the Lord. He takes pleasure. And again, this was written under the law, and it's talking about the law. You know, sometimes we think of the law and think, oh, what a burdensome thing that must have been to live under the law. But, you know, if we were under the law today, that's what we would delight in, right? Because those that were under the law, if they would obey the law, they would have the great pleasure of knowing that they're doing the will of God. Doing the will of the Creator, doing the will of the one that had, you know, if they were of Israel, they know that God had rescued them out of Egypt. God had given them a promised land that was so good. God had given them a law that was right and fair and just. Everything about it was good. You know, generally the only problem with the law is, you know, people being human had trouble keeping up with it. But, you know, Jesus Christ did, and He wasn't legalistic about it either, was He? You know, the Pharisees were very legalistic about it to the point that they would make laws around the law to keep them from breaking the law, but they missed the mark in many cases, and the things that they thought would keep them from breaking the law actually caused them to break the law. And Jesus Christ pointed that out to them. We'll get into all that right now. But to have delight in the law of the Lord is not to be legalistic. To delight in the law of the Lord would be to understand the heart of it. To understand the heart of the one who had given the law. And that He had given it for the good of the people. And look at the second half of verse 2. So, first, delight in it. Second, meditate in it day and night. Now for us, it would be to delight in the Word of God that's given to us, right? What are the commandments to those of us in the church today?
Love God and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. And very, very specifically in 1 John 3, where it says, this is His commandment. John 3:23 says, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Jesus Christ, after the Last Supper, commanded his apostles and disciples that were there to love one another as he had loved them. And it said before that he had loved them unto the end. Even before he gave his life for them, he loved them unto the end. We're to love each other unto the end. We should be willing to lay down our lives for each other. Yeah, that's what we've been told to do. And also to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. We should learn everything about Jesus Christ. We should search the scriptures and find out everything we can find out about Jesus Christ. And we have a lot of good references right now. Some wonderful books have been written, like Jesus Christ, Our Prophecy, Jesus Christ, Our Passover, The Acceptable Year of the Lord, The Riches of God's Grace in the New Covenant. All give us information about Jesus Christ. Why was he needed? What was the need for the Savior? What did God promise? What are the scriptures that talk about him through the Old Testament records? How are those fulfilled in the Gospels? What was the impact of that in the book of Acts? What instruction do we have as believers in Jesus Christ in the church epistles? What is, the book of Revelation say, what's coming in the future? For those that believe in him and as well as for those that don't. It gives a lot of information. The whole Bible is rich concerning Jesus Christ. And we're to believe in him, to believe in the right way concerning him. So, not just believe everything says about him. There's a lot of people that think things about Jesus Christ that just plain aren't true. Some people deny what he is. Some people say that he's more than what he is. Some people say he's less, and some people are just plain confused. We want to make sure that what we believe is from the scriptures, that everything we know and believe and say about him, that we can document it from the Word of God. Why do we believe what we believe? For most people, it's because that's what their parents taught them. Or that's just what, in watching TV, watching movies, reading books, taking classes in high school or college, they came to certain conclusions that appealed to them, and they pursued a certain way, and it makes them feel good to believe a certain thing, perhaps. But if we believe what we believe because it's what the scriptures say, we're on solid ground. That's the only way to have true unity among believers, right? If we all say we all just picked a thing and decided to believe it, and we all were tight and could recite every doctrine of the faith, but if it weren't correct, we'd be unified on something else. And if it were based on somebody's opinion, well, opinions change. We have this Word of God in writing, in print. And we not only have translations of the Bible, but we have, the Greek text and the Hebrew text that we can go back to. We can study it. We have keys on how the Word interprets itself that will work for anybody. They're not subject to, I like to apply this key in this way. No, it's the key to unlock the door, right? So, back to Psalm 1. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And for us, that would be the whole Word of God. And specifically what we are commanded to do. To believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he gave us commandment. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now this is included in the keys to how to prosper in whatsoever you do. To meditate in his law day and night. To meditate in the Word of God day and night. Now what is it to meditate? This word meditate is translated a number of ways. I have a note in my Bible that says to study. The Hebrew word means to murmur. means to talk to yourself under your breath many times. But to talk to yourself, I mean, you're talking to yourself all day long, right? Why not talk to yourself about what the scriptures say? If you memorize scriptures and repeat them to yourself, you're speaking the word of God to yourself. It's great to learn specific verses about specific things that, you know, tend to come up in your life so that you have that word of God. Because once you have the word of God on a topic, you know, that's just what you need, right? The written word of God tells us what we're to be doing all the time. And we have the Spirit of God in us to tell us what to do in the particular instance. But if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing all the time, it's tough to get the particulars about that instance other than to get back to what you are supposed to be doing. Right? But you can go a lot further in life when you already are doing what you're supposed to be doing. And it's not just a matter of screwing up and getting forgiven and, you know, messing up and picking yourself up, falling down and getting up. I mean, that's how babies learn how to walk. You know, they fall down, they get it up. But once you're an adult, you know, if you're still falling down and always getting up, you know, you just don't get very far. And some people just, if they don't have the love for the Word of God, might have their intentions and their motives in other areas where it's going to be a constant falling down and getting up. But once you know what the Word of God says and you're doing what the Word of God says, then you make some progress, right? Now, you might come to places where you need more information, but, you know, it's there for you. If it's not in the written Word, God can very easily give you what to do by way of His Spirit and let you know what to do. Now, we still have, you know, an adversary. We still have problems that come up, right? If you can, you know, first fix the ones that you cause yourself, you know, stop defeating yourself and start, you know, just always speaking to yourself in terms of what the Word of God says and doing what you know the Word of God says to do, then when you hit an obstacle, it's easy to get the answer. You know, you have a challenge, it's easy to overcome it. An enemy comes your way, it's easy to defeat them. You know, because, you know, you're walking according to the counsel of the godly, not the ungodly. Right? You're walking according to the vocation wherewith you've been called. You're standing, you know, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You're seated in the heavenlies. And you recognize that position. You recognize in your mind, you're seated in the heavenly realm. So you don't feel like you're underneath it all, you're on top of it all. So you meditate in these things day and night. It reminds me of a couple of other places in the Word of God. Go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And the Word of God is written in a way that, you know, certain key words in a verse might trigger a reminder of something else in the Word that you've read. Like someone triggers this when he talks about meditating day and night and prospering in whatsoever he doeth. It reminds me of Joshua because it uses some of these same words. Well, chapter 1, we'll start in verse 7. This is where God was encouraging Joshua, telling him to be strong and of a good courage because Moses was dead and Joshua had a big job to do. Verse 7 says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." Kind of like what we read in Psalm 1, right? "Observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. whithersoever thou goest. It's kind of like, whatsoever thou doest shall prosper, right? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, what does that mean? You know, if you just stop there, you might say, well, never speak it. Right? It shouldn't depart out of your mouth. No, it means you should never stop speaking it. It should always be on your lips. That's what it means. And I know that's true because of the next phrase says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate, murmur it. Talk about it to yourself as well as to others. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Who would have thought that reading and studying and talking to yourself about the Bible would be the thing that would cause you to prosper in anything that you do? But that's really what it says. That's what it said in Psalm 1. That's what God told Joshua. You keep talking about the written word to yourself, to others. Learn it, study it, so that even when you don't have it open in front of you, you can be speaking it to yourself. That's what meditation is about in the Bible. It's not about chanting. You know, it's not even, you know, it's not picking a mantra and just repeating it over and over. But it is focusing your mind, though, and dwelling on one thing for a period of time, so that the scriptures are not just fleeting thoughts, but they're the ones that you hold on to and you think about it and you dwell on it, you talk about it and say, yeah, that's, you know, delight in the law of the Lord, delight in the word of God, you know, meditate in it day and night. It's wonderful. In 1 Chronicles 22, David the king had the joy of seeing his son Solomon assume the throne while David was still alive. So Solomon didn't become king upon the death of David. David gave the throne to his son Solomon while David was still living, which was pretty cool. He got to see his son, the son that was specifically chosen to sit on the throne. Now, say he had just died, then there could have been a military coup or someone else could have taken it over, but it was an orderly succession. Where David was at the end of the life, he knew he wasn't in a fit condition to reign as king anymore. He did have other sons, some that were older than Solomon. He had another one that assumed that he would be the king and was already starting to celebrate and blow the trumpet and declare himself as king. But, you know, the high priest that was there and some of the prophets that came to David said, don't you remember you said Solomon would be the king? And David said, that's right. Let's declare Solomon king and let me oversee it so that the right king can sit on the throne. So he did that, and he had a little chat with his son in chapter 22 in verses 12 and 13. I just want to pick out a couple of verses. We'll start in verse 11. Okay. 11 to 13. It says, now my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of a good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Sounds a lot like what God was telling Joshua when Joshua took over for Moses. Now here's David the king speaking as he was inspired by God to encourage Solomon to take over for himself as king. And he told him the same things, right? He told him to make sure that you take heed to the written word, the law of God. Then you're going to prosper. Not only in the building of the temple, but in the governing of the people. They're God's people. If you're going to be king over God's people, you have to rule them according to God's will. You need wisdom from God. You won't be able to figure it out on your own. So you go by what's already written, and you ask God for wisdom. And that's what Solomon did for a good many years. He screwed up later on at the end of his life, which was kind of tragic. But at least for there was a good period of time where Solomon governed the people of God according to the wisdom that God had given him and according to the word that had already been given long before. And it was great. It was a wonderful time for the kingdom of Israel. I'd like to show you one more in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So that keeping the written word of God, that meditating on the written word of God, would cause the prosperity of the one doing so.
1 Timothy.
Yes, 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, by revelation, gives Timothy specific instructions on how to oversee the people of God. Because Timothy was like an overseer over the elders that were having fellowships in their home in the area of Ephesus. Okay? And Timothy was given specific instructions by Paul. This is, the qualifications for someone that you would ordain as an elder, as a bishop. Okay? A bishop that would be an overseer of others. So Timothy was an overseer of other overseers. And he said, these are the qualifications. This is the kind of man, who has the desire to do so and the discipline in his own life, who has his family, his wife and children in order. They're living according to the word of God. People that aren't going to go crazy with endless genealogies and giving heed unto fables and things like that. People that aren't going to be argumentative or drunkards or, do stupid things. Then he talks about deacons, those that are there to serve and help, and how to pick a good one. how to tell them what to do, what to tell the older people to do, what to tell the younger people to do. And, there's a lot of great wisdom in how to be an overseer of others. And then he gives Timothy some advice for his own personal life. And one of the things that he tells him is verse 15 of chapter 4, where he says, meditate upon these things. Now these things that he's going to meditate are the things that had been written in this particular epistle, right? Meditate upon these things that I have told you. Now, in these things, there are things that had been written down right now and things that make reference to other things that had been written, the other church epistles, the doctrine that's according to godliness. Meditate upon these things. Think about them all the time. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That you'll prosper. The word profiting is to prosper. The word prosper or profit does not necessarily mean to accumulate wealth. It means to be successful at what you do. To succeed at what you are intending to do. And with God's help, you will succeed. I think the first place where it talks about prospering was when Abraham sent his servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. And the servant prayed that God would prosper him in his task. Now, in doing so, he wound up giving money away. He spent money to accomplish it. The prosperity was not to come back with more money. It was to come back with a wife, you know, for Isaac. That would, he would prosper, he would succeed if he successfully returned with a wife for Isaac. And not just a wife, but the right one. You know, the right one. Which he did. God did prosper him. He prayed to God. He said, send an angel before me, you know, help me know which one it is. He said, if I see a girl and I ask her for something to drink, if she would not only offer me to drink, but offer without me asking to feed and water my camels, then let that be the one. You know, someone who's thoughtful and generous and strong and willing to serve, you know. And he met Rebecca at the well. He said, would you give me something to drink? He says, yeah, I'll give you something to drink. Let me give you something for your camels, too. And then he said, okay, God, is this the right one? I hope so. But, you know, he waited to see the outcome before he celebrated too soon. And then he realized this is the one. She was from the right family that Abraham had sent her. And then she was willing to come back and be the wife of a man that she never met. You know, but she was willing to do, she wasn't forced into it. She was willing, she went with him. It all worked out. So he prospered in that thing. He didn't wind up with more money, but he wound up with something that was of greater value. He did the will of his master Abraham, who was doing the will of God, and he got a woman here who would continue the Christ line. It was great. So to prosper is to move forward, to succeed in the right thing, in the right way. So let's finish up in Psalm 1 again and take a look at this. So I know it helps me not only to read some verses like this, but to make those connections with other verses, to look up the words and see what they mean, to see other verses that talk about the same thing, and it gives a greater breadth and depth to your understanding of what you're reading. But it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And as a result, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Not a tree that happened to grow there because some acorn happened to drop, and sometimes trees get planted because a bird eats the seed and poops it out somewhere, you know, and it happens to grow. But this is like a tree planted, intentionally planted by the rivulets of water, in irrigated garden, intentionally put in a certain place according to the will of the gardener, you know, who would be God in this case, the one who wanted that tree in that place for a certain reason and would care for that tree, okay? This is not just a wild tree out in the woods somewhere. This is a cultivated tree, like an apple tree in an orchard, you know, something like that. A fruit-bearing tree, intentionally planted, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that's what our lives are like when we delight in the Word of God, where we think about it all the time, where we always have it on our lips, where we're living by it. You know, this is our position. This is where we sit. This is where, how we walk. This is the stand that we take. And the result is you'd be like that tree in the cultivated garden. And you're always bearing fruit. Your leaf doesn't wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Doesn't happen to the ungodly, but it does happen to us, you know, those that God has made righteous. Okay. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the greatness of what you've done for us and how we can enjoy our lives that you have given us, growing where you've planted us, delighting in the Word of God, something that always gives us great pleasure, something that is always a delight to our hearts, something that is so helpful for us and so nourishing to us, that causes us to bear fruit all the time and prosper in all that we do. So we thank you for the great things that you have given us in your Word, and that we can keep it in our hearts, keep it in our minds, keep it on our lips constantly. We know that this is how your Son lived while he was on earth, and we know this is how he continues to live now, because he's alive and living forever. And this is how we live as members of the great body of Christ. We thank you in his name. Amen.